Hello everyone, Neil Patel here. Thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. Today we talk to Vamsi Krishna. He is the co-founder of Vedantu. They are a live online tutoring platform that aims to personalize and democratize learning in India, and they're doing a really amazing job so far. So we talk about a number of topics, including how we got started, raising $5 million in funding, the vision of the company, what excites him most about Vedantu. We also talk about the fundraising process as well. It's really interesting to find out what VCs are looking for and core challenges the company is facing and much, much more. Please enjoy the show. Vamsi, thanks for coming on the show today.
Hey, thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me over.
So tell me a little about yourself and a brief overview of Vedantu, please.
Sure, Neil. So I'm Vamsi, one of the co-founders and CEO of Vedantu. Along with me, I started this company with three friends of mine. So we are four guys who started this up. Vedantu is the second educational venture of ours. Even before this, the four of us, we started our first educational venture way back in 2006. This was right after our college. Myself and my other three friends, we are all from IITs. After that, we did some quick 5-6 months of job. It was not working great for us. So, you know, just thought of, you know, coming into education and start teaching kids. Yeah. So that's how this whole journey in education began. Mm-hmm. So we started actually teaching kids from in a rural place in India. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty satisfying. And
so was this an offline thing?
Exactly. Yeah. Completely offline. Completely offline. It was a brick and mortar setup. The other two guys were working in some place. It was a sulfuric processing plant, and we had workers, their kids who were aspiring for some engineering colleges in their 11th grade and 12th grade. So we just started off by teaching them. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think, I would say, a most satisfying experience teaching those kids. And I think, Neil, that's what finally, you know, led us to, you know, a journey in Vedantu. So this entire journey was very important for shaping of what Vedantu is today. So in nutshell, what we are doing at Vedantu is that Vedantu is an online tutoring platform, mm-hmm. right? In which we have a lot of teachers who are listed on the platform and a lot of students on this side. It operates like any marketplace mm-hmm. out there, in which a student would come and put his requirement. According to that requirement, we'll show him a list of teachers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All these teachers would have their different prizes, qualifications, experience, rating, review. Mm-hmm. Basis these things, you will select a teacher. And the whole system, the tech part comes here, that we enable a live interaction between these two guys. Like, for example, like Skype we are doing right now. So imagine it's something like a Skype, mm-hmm. but custom made for education, right? Mm-hmm. In which you can not just talk to each other and see each other in real time, but also you can write and, you know, interact through writing with each other in real time. Excellent. So it's whiteboard and audio and video communication all in real time basis.
How long did it take you to build this?
So Neil, the team has been at it for almost like close to 1.5 years now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, it took a substantial amount of, like, almost before launch, we devoted almost eight months of time creating the basic framework. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Right? And in terms of stats then, how many students have used this platform, for example?
Yeah, sure. So we launched Vedantu to the public in November 2014. Mm-hmm. So it's just over a year now, right? And in this time, we so Vedantu, as I said before that, I'll tell you where we focus on. So our focus is majorly on the 6th grade to 10th grade, and only maths and science.
Right, maths and science.
Okay. Currently, we have not added a lot of other categories. We are just concentrated on maths and science, and the major focus is in India as a country. Okay. So we are not going out aggressively and probably, you know, mm-hmm. pitching it for external students. Yeah. So in the last few months, we have had more than 60,000 hours of live tutoring on the platform.
Okay.
This has happened from over 250 cities in the country. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have, in terms of students, we have a registered base of around close to, I think, 28,000 students.
Okay.
Okay. And out of that, probably more than 3,000 would be our monthly active subscribers.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I say monthly active subscribers, imagine them as probably students who are coming on the platform and probably engaging with the teacher almost for 8 to 9 hours in a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Excellent. How big is the tutoring market in India now?
Oh, Neil, it's pretty big. It's mm-hmm. very, very big. So there are, just to give you a sense, there are 300 million kids in K-12 in the country. Mm-hmm. Okay. And out of that, 33% of them go for private schools.
Okay.
Okay. So it's almost close to 80 million. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is slated to become 100 million by 2020. All of them go for private tutoring.
Right.
I'm even discounting the other, you know, 60-odd% from public schools. You know, I'm assuming they don't go for private tutoring. Mm-hmm. Most, some of them also go, right? So the number is almost like 80 to 100 million kids mm-hmm. who actually go for a parallel tutoring apart from their schools, right? Mm-hmm. Right. It starts right from second to third grade and extends all the way to 12th grade.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And at an average, these parents, so you need to understand that, you know, the parents in India, and it's not just an India phenomena, but mm-hmm. more from a Southeast Asia phenomena, mm-hmm. right? They are extremely sensitive to, you know, quality education, and they really see it as a means for a better lifestyle and living.
Okay.
Right? So the per capita spend on education is very, very high mm-hmm. in the country. Mm-hmm. These kids for parallel education spend almost close to 25 to 30,000 Indian rupees mm-hmm. Per annum average.
Okay. So let's talk about education then. We have a lot of students listening to the show. What advice would you give them going into higher education?
See, I think understanding yourself and your passion is the most important thing, right? I really believe that if a student is able to understand what he really likes and loves, irrespective of what that field is, I've always noticed that these kids actually turn out and do great in their chosen field of profession. Mm-hmm. So the early part of the life should actually be spent on exploring mm-hmm. more. And more, right? How much you can. And trying to judge a sense or trying to get a sense of where is the liking for. Okay. Mm-hmm. It, I think, is a process which is a constant work in progress kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. In multiple cases, some of the students I have interacted and seen.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, in my experience at Laksh, all our founders, we have taught and mentored more than 10,000 students just between us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In that experience, I can say that some of the kids I have seen understand their passion and their like. You know, liking for a particular topic or field of interest as early as in 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
For some, it's a discovery and it happens probably in their second year or third year of education in their colleges. Okay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter where you find that. I think the exploration should happen. And once you find, then I think, you know it inside. Then there is nothing which stops you. And once you pursue that, mm-hmm. you really do great in that chosen field of profession.
Excellent. Let's talk about the startup then. What excites you most about doing this startup?
So, as I said, the whole entry into the startup was a little accidental for us when we were doing this teaching for the kids way back in 2006. We really never thought of it as a startup. Mm-hmm. Okay. But probably now 11 years into this whole startup thing, what I can actually, you know, a simple answer which I can give to this question is, as an entrepreneur, you always see a lot of things around you. As a human being, you see a lot of things around you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing which actually, you know, makes startups and more importantly, entrepreneurs, you know, stand out is the fact that one of the problems they will see, and an entrepreneur will feel very strongly about that problem statement
mm-hmm.
and also feel that he has an elegant solution around that problem, which really solves the needs that problem out. And then the passion for that problem solving and that solution is so high that an entrepreneur really cannot think of anything else apart from that. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's, in my humble opinion, is when I feel a true startup or a true, you know, entrepreneur is born.
Mm-hmm.
When you really strongly feel about a problem statement,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that stands out for me in my entire journey of this entrepreneurship and doing a startup. What has really got me going and my fellow mates going is the fact that, you know, we are actually trying to not just create a business that can never be the motive. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The thing which actually gets us going is that, you know, there is a bigger vision and there's a bigger problem which we're trying to solve. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what really gets you going.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that stands out for me in my experience of working in a startup.
Excellent. You mentioned vision. What is the vision of the company?
If you look at the entire education system in the world, okay, for decades, in fact, there are two essential problems which plagues it. Okay. And this is truly a teacher in me speaking. If you look at all the technology which has happened, okay, and if you look at a classroom today, you can second me on this, that, you know, the technology currently has not penetrated the classroom. Now, whenever there are attempts on edtech, you know, a lot of people, you know, attack it in a way that, you know, we need to use technology in a classroom. We need to use technology in a classroom. Mm-hmm. That's not an end to itself. Technology cannot and should not be used just for the sake of using it. Just because you have a tool or a new tech, it's not that, you know, education has to be, you know, it has to be incorporated into the education system. Yeah. My hypothesis here is, if you look at the entire system, unfortunately the whole world is drifting more and more towards generalization, mm-hmm. whereas I think it should be more towards personalization. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the entire revolution, the latest revolutions in edtech, for example, the MOOCs, you know, of the world, mm-hmm. and all, is further drifting and making it drift towards generalization. Mm-hmm. Wherein earlier, when I used to say that a teacher teaching a class of 50 is not optimized, now you have a system wherein you're saying one video will cater to billions of kids. Mm-hmm. Although there have been beautiful attempts at solving the problem of accessibility, mm-hmm. but I think it has to be context driven and also age driven. The target in which we are trying to solve this, especially the junior grades, which is the K1 to K10, mm-hmm. I think the context is very important. And here, you know, the accessibility, more than accessibility, the issue is of personalization. So that is one very big vision on which, you know, Vedantu is built on. We are trying to solve this, mm-hmm. that we are trying to use technology to solve and make education as personalized as possible. Mm-hmm. One is that. The second and equally big problem, Neil, is we all have been through education systems. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not just India, but in the entire world, if you look at the education system, it's all institutionalized.
Yeah.
Okay. And institutionalization has its problems. It not just tries to control the students, but it also tries to control the teachers. Mm-hmm. If, for example, in 11th grade, if there is a topic on Newton's laws, the institute tries to determine that Newton's laws will be done in 5 lectures. Mm-hmm. And that is it. Okay. No matter how creative the teacher is, okay, and probably no matter the teacher comes back and says that, you know what, probably my group requires 5 more lectures. You know, in very few percentage cases, those is allowed. Rest of all the cases, it's all standardized out there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not just from the students' end, it's from the teachers' end as well. The teachers are not allowed to, you know, dictate a lot of things. Even their salaries and payments are, you know, standardized. This is not the most optimized system. In Vedantu, we really want to challenge this. Okay, we really believe and we have proved it, that instead of institutes trying to control this interaction, they should actually step back and, you know, let the democracy clearly take care of the quality itself. Mm-hmm. Okay. So democratization is the second big challenge, mm-hmm. you know, facing the education institutes, and we really want to make it more democratized. Mm-hmm. Okay, when I say democratized, you know, think of what we are trying to do here at Vedantu. We don't dictate what a teacher should teach, how many lectures he should take to teach that, what content has to be given, okay, or probably what price he has to set, or what time he will teach, okay, or where he will teach from. We take a step back and let the rating and reviews decide for itself. Mm-hmm. We really believe that once this democracy takes care of itself. Sorry, the democracy is actually prevalent out there, and the quality is put out there in front of everyone. Mm-hmm. This whole interaction and the quality and the rating review will automatically force the teacher to get the best out of himself. Okay, and this is true democratization. Mm-hmm. So anyone can become a teacher here. Okay, yes. It's not just the professional teachers who can become a teacher, but actually anyone who is able to deliver the knowledge to the context of the child can become great teachers. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, we solve the problem of the accessibility of teachers by creating more teachers.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Let's just talk about funding then. I believe you raised 5 million after 6 months of launching. Is that correct?
That's correct. But, you know, that's what happens, right? So typically, this is from an externally, we launched to the public in November, and, you know, we got the funding in the month of March, April. But to give you a sense of really what's happening behind, to get us to this idea of Vedantu, for external people, it may seem 6 months, but actually it took 10 years for mm-hmm. us to go there. So some of these, so Axel, for example, was an investor who was in touch with us for multiple years, mm-hmm. right? We were in discussing with them what we are doing, right? And that's actually that all the interaction and, you know, that time went about in getting this final accumulation into a funding.
Mm-hmm. Most companies don't get funding, but you did. Why do you think that is?
Okay, now, not just talking from education, but in general from a startup perspective, right? So, funding, yes, not all companies get funding, probably for the reason that not all companies need funding, Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's one very big thing which needs to be, you know, which needs to be understood clearly, that not all companies and not all business models are venture fundable, if I can use that word, right? Like, for example, Neil, the previous company which we were doing, Laksh, right, was never venture fundable, right? Because the business model doesn't support this. So it was a completely bootstrapped business which we did. Organically, we made it up for like almost like 6 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if we go to a VC and ask for a funding for that kind of a business, they won't do that, because what a VC typically looks at is disproportionate scale and an ability to get disproportionate returns. Mm-hmm. That's what they make their money on. Yeah. So typically there are three parameters, okay, which is very important for a company to get a venture funding.
Yeah.
Okay. Those three parameters in that order probably would be, the first and the foremost would be a team.
Yeah.
Right. The team has to be there, especially for early fundings, right? 80% of the decision is based on the team, in my opinion. The second is, there has to be a very big market for, you know, the problem you're trying to solve.
Mm-hmm.
Very big market, right? And the third and equally important would be a proof of concept.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Yeah. Especially for early stage, there has to be a proof of concept that whatever problem you are proposing, there are enough people who care for that problem and who are ready to pay for that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah. So, these are the things which are necessary. And those companies which actually qualify on this, I don't think they have much issues in raising the fund.
Excellent. One last question on funding then. I'm interested to know how much time you spent fundraising as opposed to working on your business.
In our case, I think we would not be a right example to take in this case, because in our case, as I was saying, we were in touch with one of the ventures for a long time, right? So for us, really, the fundraising process took very less time. It took 1.5 months for us, right? But again, this from a general perspective, I think any entrepreneur or a startup guy should be looking at a 4-month to a 5-month scenario on an average for this fundraise process to take from the start to the end, right? A word of caution though, this process takes a lot of energy, sucks a lot of energy from the founders,
mm-hmm.
and especially in early stage, founders' time is the most precious, right? Mm-hmm. If you are not giving time to your company, the growth will stall and there will be other issues, right? So I really would advise fellow entrepreneurs, especially at early stage, the seed stage and the Series A stage, to really optimize that. You should either be in a fundraise process or you should not be in a fundraise process, mm-hmm. right? And if you're in a fundraise process, it's almost like a switch on off button. You should just turn it on and try to get over with this process as soon as possible,
mm-hmm.
because the time spent on business is most critical.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. What's your thoughts on hiring? Do you go for like all round players or do you go for specialist skills?
So Neil, it really depends on the stage in which the company is in, mm-hmm. right? So it's temporal. It really depends on which stage are you hiring for in your company.
Mm-hmm.
So especially for a startup, if it's very early, like very early as in the founders, and then you're looking for your this next 4-5 guys, mm-hmm. right? I think it has to be, first of all, it has to be rock stars, and this rock stars has to be multifaceted.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have people who are like jack of all trades.
Yep.
Okay. And of course, I mean, needless to say, enthusiastic about the vision and the problem statement, all those goes without saying, mm-hmm. right? But you really require people who can hustle up. They don't think a lot about process systems, who just hustle up and probably just execute it. The move fast, break fast approach,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, but this approach doesn't get you far, okay? This may probably get you down to 6 months to 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
But as and when the team size grows from probably that 5-6 to like 15-20,
mm-hmm.
that is a stage. And typically, this is like the Series A kind of a stage, mm-hmm. right? That is when you then start to think about, you know, having people who have an experience of also trying to manage and start having some process systems,
mm-hmm.
okay? I'm not talking about big processes again here, like some process and systems. Because as the company grows in size, the communication becomes a problem,
mm-hmm.
right? A challenge, in fact. So you need people who can balance this stuff up,
mm-hmm.
yeah? So, yeah, and then after that, definitely then, you know, you have a lot of case studies out there,
mm-hmm.
that you need to have really great guys who are expert in their stuff. You need not have, you know, all-rounders. You just need to have people who are experts, mm-hmm. in what they do and have experience in scaling and probably managing a bigger companies, like which is 100-member or a 500-member, mm-hmm. companies.
Good stuff. You mentioned challenges before. What challenges have you had to face over the last 6 months?
So Vedantu, the challenge, specifically talking about Vedantu, the challenges apart from the standard ones like hiring, hiring is always a challenge for a startup, right? Apart from the challenges of hiring, from a business perspective, a very big challenge we are facing, we face and we are currently facing also, is of category creation. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Vedantu is into online tutoring, and you know, not just in India, but globally, it's a new category. Mm-hmm. When you imagine education, you always imagine a teacher in, you know, in flesh and blood and, you know, mm-hmm. out there using a whiteboard or a blackboard and teaching, right? So that mindset is there for decades and decades. Mm-hmm. So in order to change that mindset, it takes time. It's almost like the early days of e-commerce when you told a person that, you know, you can buy shoes online or probably clothes online. It's not intuitive, right? It takes time for that to, you know, come in. So that's a similar challenge we are facing, that the category creation, it has its own set of associated challenges. We really need to create that trust. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so those are one of the core challenges Vedantu faces.
Mm-hmm. Last few questions then. Who do you admire in the tech space or education space? Do you have any heroes?
I would not specifically talk about education space, but I would definitely would want to talk about the entire tech and the startup ecosystem, right?
Yeah.
I really admire the stuff Google does as a technology company, mm-hmm. right? I think they have constantly and consistently, I mean, over a decade, more than that, have set the bar for being a pure tech company. And that really is inspiring, because, you know, you have a company out there which it really pushes the envelope, right? So from a tech perspective, I really admire that company. Mm-hmm. From a perspective of innovative products, we have to admire Apple, mm-hmm. of course. But more importantly, recently Tesla. So, you know, Elon Musk, really admire that guy, mm-hmm. for the sheer vision he has, right? So when the whole world is talking about smaller problems, this guy comes out and says that, you know what, the bigger problem we need to solve is that, you know, Earth will get extinct in some time. Mm-hmm. So we need to find an alternate home. You know, and that is truly inspiring. You know, I mean, that gives you a completely different perspective out there, mm-hmm. right? So I think, yeah, at some point of time, you need such people to push the human race forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yes, these are some of the things I admire.
Excellent. What books or blogs do you read? Anything you can recommend?
Oh, definitely. So I think as a CEO, and more importantly, as any entrepreneur, you should constantly be in a learning phase. That's very, very important. I would really want to stress an emphasis on that, because, you know, the startup itself is so dynamic. There is no one size fits all advice. Mm-hmm. Okay. You really need to understand at which stage you are in, and accordingly, you need to seek advice. Okay. The advice can either come from, you know, a mentor, which is very important. You should really be in touch with mentors, founders of startup who have been there, done that, mm-hmm. right? That is a very, very, very important thing, in fact. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, on a personal note, some of the books I really found great is, so there are a list of them. Mm-hmm. I'll just tell a few.
Yeah, go for
it. One of the things which I really loved about is the very early stage, which is, I'm saying, just the conceptualization stage startups, okay?
Yeah.
A must read for them is definitely a Lean Startup. Mm-hmm. Right. So Lean Startup clearly lays the framework out that how should you reduce time and still go out and validate your hypothesis and product. Mm-hmm. OK, I think it's almost should be a must read thing for, you know, any early stage guy who is just with an idea and is going out there. Mm-hmm. OK, it will save a lot of time, believe me. Mm-hmm. OK, so that's one. The second one, of course, as you scale up, some of the stuff you need to really understand and execute on is growth, mm-hmm. right? So I think, you know, the standard stuff is somewhere around growth. There are a lot of stuff written on growth, okay? So growth hacks, right? So some of the things around growth and how do you basically get growth. These are the things which there are a lot of blogs on this. Mm-hmm. You should go out there and read.
Yeah.
Paul Graham's blog is super awesome, mm-hmm. okay? So Paul Graham's blog is something which I constantly read. And because it's blog, there are a lot of blogs written for different contexts, mm-hmm. right? I think you should read that. Now, from a present perspective, like, for example, right now, what I'm really loving to read is Ben Howard's Hard Things About Hard mm-hmm. Things, right? I think it's a wonderful read. I think it's a must read for any startup CEO. Mm-hmm. Okay. Especially at an early stage, a series A, series B stage. Mm-hmm. Okay. Completely lays the framework out on how a CEO should conduct himself. When company is typically of a size of 100 to 500 employees, what are the challenges and how should actually go about solving that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, this is some of the, you know, stuff I really recommend people reading.
You mentioned mentors before. Who mentors you then?
A lot of guys, Neil, actually. Okay. So, you know, for example, just to take few names over here in India, especially. So Raghu is a guy who really, you know, I consider as a close mentor. He's the one who has been a CEO, co-founder of Taxi for Sure, okay, which got acquired by Ola, right? Yeah. So he's the one who, you know, who's actually been there, done that. So a lot of mentorship advice comes from him, right? Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of one actually, you know, they're quite a few. I won't be able to take names of all, but yeah. Yeah, this is ones.
Being a former teacher, do you have any tips on revising?
Ha, interesting. So, okay, it's a long time back, so I'm just trying to recollect. Okay, so one of the things which, you know, we do is we always try to refer to a new thing for revising. Okay, mm-hmm. Not all of us, some of us do. So if you're done with a chapter or probably a year's material, you then try to find a new material and mm-hmm. then, you know, think that, you know, okay, fine, I'll solve this and I'll use it as a revision. Mm-hmm. In my experience, that really doesn't work out great. Okay, you should always, especially for the kids, right, in K-10 and below, when the exams are approaching, right, for example, these times it's exam days, you should always try to refer your previous material, mm-hmm. okay, while revising. That's very important and it's really effective, actually. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the second thing is, especially for competitive exams, the best revision is actually by taking lots of practice tests. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, these two things really works great.
Excellent. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Okay, not from a startup perspective, but more from, you know, before startup. So, taking that plunge perspective, mm-hmm. okay, I would say there are a lot of advices since after I started a startup, which I received from mentors. So, I really will not be able to take one best advice out of mm-hmm. them, okay? But definitely, I recollect one advice which I received before I was thinking of starting this mm-hmm. up, mm-hmm. okay? And that, I think, was very, very important because that really set the tone for everything else which followed, mm-hmm. okay? So, I was in two minds whether I should, you know, take that plunge or not, mm-hmm. okay? And what is the right time? Is it the right time? And, you know, all those things which, you know, typically a person does, mm-hmm. okay? So, the mentorship I received, the advice I received is, you know, that old Nike slogan, right? Which is, you know, just do it. Okay, so the advice was that just don't think about it, don't over calculate, don't apply your MBA brain on it, mm-hmm. okay, just do it. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the best advice which I can also give and extend to all the startup founders and probably even those guys who are thinking and contemplating of a startup. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, don't overthink, mm-hmm. follow the Nike slogan, just do it.
Just do it. Okay, last two questions then. What does the name come from? Where does the name come from?
Vedanta is made from two Sanskrit words, mm-hmm. okay? So Veda, we all know, right? From Indian mythology, it's Veda stands for knowledge. And Tantu is again a Sanskrit word, which stands for network, a cobweb basically. Okay, Tantu. So Ved plus Tantu, Vedantu. So it essentially is an extension and a translation of our vision, which is a knowledge network. So the vision of Vedantu is to create the biggest knowledge network out there of the learners and the learned, so that whenever you want to, you know, learn something, there is a network in which you can go and probably find a mentor for yourself who can actually, you know, give you what you seek. Mm-hmm.
Okay, last question then for people who want more information on you and your work, what must they do?
I think I have a blog and more importantly, LinkedIn. So those guys who really want to reach out to me for some advice, I think I really would encourage them reaching out to me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active there, right? Or on Facebook. Yeah.
Brilliant. Vamsi, thank you very much for coming on the show. I know you're really busy, so I appreciate the time taken.
Hey Neil, thanks a lot. I had fun, you know, in this session. Yeah.
Excellent. Speak soon. Cheers, Manny. Thanks. So that's Vamsi. And if you'd like to know more, you can go to his website, vedantu.com. That's the end of the show. If you liked it, please leave a rating and a review of the show. Just search for The Indian Startup Show on iTunes, Stitcher and Overcast. If you have any feedback on the show, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co. Or you can go to neilpatel.co/podcast. Filling the Google form takes about 30 seconds. Or you can tweet @IndianStartupSH or go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. We'd love to connect. Thank you, and we'll speak next week. Bye.